And so there's, please stop, you say to time. I don't want to be dragged along this stream of time towards my inevitable doom. But you can't stop it. Also, on one level, time seems to be very, to dominate everything. And yet, on another level, past and future don't exist. There's only now, always now. One can't really argue with that, that your life is always this moment. Your life cannot not ever be this moment. So on one level you have what appears to be very real, and yet it's always now. Let's stay with that fact, because this is a practical session, not philosophical. A discourse on time belongs somewhere else. There's a practical fact that it's always now. And if I'm never in alignment, or extremely rarely in alignment with now, then I means I'm out of alignment with life itself. Which means the power that is inherent in life, the intelligence that is inherent in life, the beauty that is inherent in life, cannot fully express itself through this contracted entity that spends most of its time, its nows, in no, wanting to, needing to get somewhere else the next moment. Which is really only a thought. Future is a thought, a mind movement. So when we see that, and we also see another strange fact, that first we see there is only ever this moment, so you might as well make friends with it, since you haven't got anything else. But then a strange thing happens. People believe that the now is very short-lived. They think a now is only a brief thing. I think in one of the leaflets about this, our afternoon together, it said, spend an afternoon in the now. That will be the longest now you've ever experienced. But of course, yes, this is what this is about. Now, the fact that change happens continuously doesn't mean that there are many different nows. The form that this moment takes changes continuously. The field of now remains. Often things happen that are challenging in the now. A strange, it is very strange that when you allow whatever form this now takes to be as it is, the deeper level of your being opens up. This is a miracle. When you see it in your life, how your life changes as you live in alignment with what is rather than against what is, that is the end of hundreds of thousands of years of conditioning, and you are stepping out of thought. Because it is the movement of thought that judges continuously what is as not enough, not good, or needs more than this. The movement of thought, the thought-made entity, always needs more. I'm not full enough yet, not complete yet. It never is. Where's the next thing that I can identify with? That's why people look so uneasy a lot of the time, because they're looking for the next thing to make their sense of self a bit more complete. A bit more, please. Okay, more. And the more is supplied by the next moment, which doesn't exist. It's a dreadful way to live. And you see another fact. For thousands of years, the Buddhists have already recognized that everything in this universe is interconnected. And now physicists also see that ultimately there are no isolated events or isolated phenomena. There is a web of interconnectedness that is the entire cosmos. It is all connected to everything else. Not what appears to us as an isolated event is connected to the totality on deeper levels. And that is good to realize. And this brings us to the strange fact of the inevitability of this moment. Because the totality of the universe has brought this about. It happens because it cannot be otherwise. And then you allow it, you see that connectedness, and you allow what is to be. You bring a yes to it. Suddenly, and now I'm using words to describe something that is really beyond words. With this yes to what is now, something opens up, which I can only describe, and many of you already know, have had glimpses of it, or it's already very strongly present in your life. I can only describe as there is a sense of space around what happens when you allow it to happen. A spaciousness in which this event, and that is an inner sense of space, a spaciousness in which this event is happening. It could be, for example, the obnoxious behavior of some person close to you. She is doing it again. He is doing it again. Before, it brought up the inevitable and suddenly you see the inevitability of this moment. And you allow. And so the event comes and there's the or something breaks down and you go, it's allowed. That's strange. There's the event, or let's say some dreadful noise happens suddenly. And usually there would be reaction. This shouldn't be. They should. Why don't they? And suddenly, You allow it. Oh. Suddenly there is a space around it. A space around what happens. One could also call it a peace around what happens. And you can notice it particularly when you do this when something so-called unpleasant happens and you allow it. There's suddenly a space around it, a larger context in which that happens. And that space is a space of peace around it. Some people had to be driven by life to an extreme form of suffering before that happened to them spontaneously inside. And in the midst of hell on earth, in the most dreadful conditions, something inside them stopped resisting this moment. And there was a vast sense of peace and space, despite the appearance of evil or badness in this moment. That is the inner shift. It's not when you demand that the world should change. People have been demanding that for a long time. But allow the isness of things and see what happens then. Because the allowing is the arising of the new state of consciousness. If it were not arising in you, these words would be meaningless. You wouldn't even, neither would you, you would not understand even what it means when I say allow this moment to be, or you would feel threatened by it, shout something and run out of the room. And so that is what in spiritual language is sometimes called surrender. What really is alignment, inner alignment with what is. Now, what that really means is for thousands and thousands of years, human beings have been totally absorbed in what I sometimes call object consciousness. Their entire attention goes into thoughts that arise often in reaction to things that happen. Every thought is an object in your consciousness and takes up your entire attention. And so people inhabit their entire life is crammed full with thoughts, object consciousness. This, now let's think about, and then the next thought comes, which each thought absorbs your attention. Each thought is connected to the me thought form. No space. No complete absence of space. Just one thing after another, one thought after another. And what arises with the yes to what is space consciousness. Oh. Another word for that is stillness. Inner stillness, a arises. Through the simple yes to no. And that is the new dimension of consciousness. And that is the essence of who you are. So you are, on the one hand, something that is manifested in form. You have a form identity, a life situation. Every person here is somehow, one could almost say, trapped in their particular life situation. Most of them problematic to a larger or lesser degree. The more the new consciousness is arising in you, the more the problematic nature of your life situation lessens. Not that life does not present challenges anymore, but you no longer perceive your life in terms of problems. So there is your life situation, and that differs for each one of you. Some are asking themselves what their life purpose is on this planet. What am I going to do with my life? Others may not have that much future left. In some of you, the body may not be healthy. In others, there may be some very problematic configuration of events in your life. Life situations differ. Some are rich, some are poor. Some are important in the eyes of the world, some are not important in the eyes of the world. Or some of you may be important today and unimportant tomorrow in the eyes of the world. I was unimportant for many years, now I'm important in the eyes of the world. And then, who knows, next year I may be gone in the eyes of the world. That sense of who you are that's derived from your life situation, which is, and the corresponding thought forms, we are going beyond that. We respect that. Yes, you are in this particular situation, in those relationships. These are things that you cannot deny. There is the story of me. There's the story of my life. And it's not going to come to an end this afternoon. No, the story of me continues, because that is part of my form identity. And some stories are happier than others. But there is a strong element of unsatisfactoriness and unhappiness in every story, not just yours. The element of unsatisfactoriness is built into the very structure of this mind form that is the story of me. But it is only unsatisfactory as long as you are looking for some self-fulfillment, some enhanced identity through improving your life situation or the story that you're telling yourself about who you are. Then it's always unsatisfying. But when you realize that on that level you're never going to be satisfied, on that level true completion is never reached. You can never truly know yourself, no matter how much you add to yourself through knowledge, possessions, relationships, whatever your experiences, even spiritual experiences, wanting them to add to me. Never, there are many people here who have had many great spiritual experiences. Come and, oh. Well, it's okay, let's hang on to that one. That was good. And you can tell yourself the story. I had a great insight once. I had a vision, and now it's left me. But I hope it's going to come back. That's the, on that level, to seek something, it means to seek something that the world, because the story is the world, can't give you. The demand to be made happy through some rearrangement in your story is an impossible demand. The demand to be made happy by the world, make me happy, I have a right to be made happy by the world. It is true, one could say that you have a right to the state of joy as your natural state of deep inner connectedness when you know who you are beyond thought. It's not even that you have a right, that's a conceptual thought. It just is. But the world isn't even here to make you happy. Oh. That means, if it's not here to make me happy, then what is it here for? It's to wake you up. One could say the world is here to make you conscious. And to make you conscious, until a certain point is reached, the world makes you suffer. Because you make demands and you have expectations that the world cannot meet. And you suffer. The story becomes the story of the poor me. And even if the story temporarily becomes victorious, I made it. And then a little while later, the up has become a down. What now? You can make it, you become president of the United States, and then forget that you even were president of the United States. And that's, it's how fleeting a former president of the United States is suffering from the disease that many people, older people now have, loss of memory. He doesn't remember that he was once president of the United States. That was me? Oh. That is how fleeting, but it's no different from any other life. You can become an old man or woman and then you're 95 and then you was that a dream? Or did that all happen? You wake up in the morning, did I dream my life? Or did it all happen? And it's not much difference. Not very much difference. The only question is, are you waking up out of that dream, which ultimately is the entire world of phenomenal existence has a dreamlike quality to it because everything evaporates so quickly. Gone. And then you still hang on to thought forms that were so, but it's gone. And for many people, this dreamlike existence has been somewhat of a nightmare. And that is good. Because only a nightmare will want you to wake up, will make you want to wake up. I can't stand this dream anymore. For then for a while you demand that this dream must change. And for a little while you rearrange it and it becomes a little bit more pleasant. You have a new identity. I'm now rethinking myself. A new me. You can tell yourself some new story, but it's another story. So the waking up is knowing yourself, who you are beyond the story, and that cannot be defined through any concept or word. You can only know it at this moment, here, as the aliveness the alert presence in which what you are perceiving at this moment is taking place. You are perceiving the voice, the room, the man on the chair, allowing it to be as it is. And you become aware, one could say, of your own presence as the field in which that perception happens.